Let's go to the Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We love it. It brings life. We need it. We want more of it. So God, open up our hearts and our minds now that we would just continue to be transformed by your Word, your truth, your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we are actually concluding our wonderful journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been in it for over 6 months now. For me personally, as the guy that gets to go to God every single week, open up the Bible and say, Lord, what do you have for your church this week from your Word? It's been phenomenal. I mean, I have read it so many times, studied it many times, but every time God is so good to just bring new revelation and new life through His Word. So this past 6 months going through 1 Corinthians has been wonderful. We've gleaned a whole lot of truth from God's Word. And when we look at chapter 16, and some of you hopefully read ahead and have read through chapter 16, you're probably wondering, okay, the first 15 chapters, there was a lot of meat there. There was a lot of truth, a lot of life-changing things. But chapter 16, what are we going to read there? It's just kind of like the closing remarks and a lot of housekeeping items. You know, make sure you say hi to this person. I might come there. So on and so forth. Is it time just to move on? Man, I'm telling you what. There's a word that the Lord has for us right here in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to keep the book open today and we're going to go through chapter 16. The study of 1 Corinthians was titled One. That's the title that he gave us at the beginning of this whole journey. One Corinthians. And as we've been going through 1 Corinthians, we've seen this message of one gospel, of one church, of one spirit, of one mission. And today we're going to conclude our teaching by simply looking at one another. That's the title of the sermon, One Another. How many of you know that it was never intended to live the Christian life? It was never intended that we would live life in general at all alone. How many of you know that? We were not created to live life alone. We were not created for loneliness. We were created for community. We were created, first of all, to live life with God, to be in relationship with the Lord God, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him now and forever. And the second thing is we were created to be in relationship with other people, with one another, to enjoy one another. That's how we were created. It was put in us. And in fact, after God created man, and there's Adam all by himself with the Lord, of course, still with God, walking with Him in the cool of the day, you know, pretty cool, right? But even then, God says in Genesis 2:18, it's not good that man should be alone, that he needs other people to do life with. We were not created for loneliness, but we were created for one another. And as I was going through this and God was giving this word to us, I thought of that song, One is the Loneliest Number. Now, that's the only part of the song I know. You know, one is the loneliest number. So don't go listen to the song. I have no idea what the rest of it says. But that whole title of that song and that little tag of that song, One is the Loneliest Number, just kept coming to my mind because it's so true. One is lonely. Being all alone, it could be nice for just a little while, but it doesn't last. We get lonely. We were created for one another. We were created for relationship. As I even say that, I just think, you know, the world is so different than that. The world tries to break and tear down and destroy every relationship. Why is that? Marriages, families, friendships, obviously our relationship with God. The world is an enemy of relationships. The world, the devil, I mean, he comes to divide. Why? So that he can conquer. He hates relationships because it's God's design. Relationship is God's design, and relationship glorifies God. And so the enemy hates it, and all he does is try to destroy it. Several years ago, I did a study through the one another's of the New Testament. And I just quickly went and started going through and looking for all the one another's. And I put together this list right here. And I came up with 44 one another's. Now, that seems like a lot of one another's for the New Testament, but it's not exhaustive. There are a whole lot more. In fact, the ones that we're going to be going through today out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 aren't even on my list right here. But the New Testament, the Bible, is full of encouragement to the people of God to live a one another lifestyle. I'm just going to randomly pick out a few. In Romans 15:4, instruct one another. In Mark 9:50, be at peace with each other. In John, in several places, it says, love one another. In Colossians 3:16, teach one another, admonish one another. We're down here in 1 Peter. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now that's an interesting one. There are a whole lot of one another's. Read the Bible, look for the one another's, and you'll go, whoa. I need to start doing life with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's how the Bible displays Christian living. It's a one another lifestyle. And when I say one another, it's good to do life with your family, your nuclear family, you, your spouse, and your kids. That's great and all. But the Bible is presenting the one another's in the greater family of God perspective. God is saying you were created to do life with the brothers and sisters in Christ as well as your family. We need one another. And we got to start connecting even more so with one another. So the Apostle Paul closes his letter of 1 Corinthians with some one another's. And so as we're going to advance into our future, and that's been what we've been talking about lately. In fact, that word advance was the word that the Lord gave us for this year. This is your year of advance. And of course, we know we're advancing to a new location, but it's way bigger than that, as it's been talked about. It's advancing in Him, in all that He has for us. And if we're going to advance and experience all that God has for us, and not just go through the motions and accept less than, but really get what God has for us as His people, then we've got to advance together. We've got to go together with one another. Amen? All right. I get all excited about these messages every week, you know, and I'm just like, all fired up. And y'all are hearing it for the first time, and I've been all week just getting all, whoa. So I know sometimes I'm a fire hose. All right. I'll take a breath. Everybody, deep breath. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's go to verse 1. Let's look at the first one another that Paul is presenting here as he's closing this letter. This one another that's essential and needs to be part of our Christian living. Number one is to give to one another. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, now we're starting to see this first fruits principle. First day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. Now, their gift isn't just going to the town of Jerusalem, to the city of Jerusalem, to the leaders of Jerusalem. It's going to the believers, to the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, and to the leaders of the greater body of Christ in Jerusalem for them to use it as they see fit and as they need to for the body of Christ. It's not just to, you know, pay off the apostles or something like that. It's giving to the body of Christ. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. So as believers, I just want us to see in this passage of Scripture, Paul is closing and just giving some housekeeping items, but in his housekeeping items to the church as he's closing this letter, he makes this very important point to us today, that we are called to give to one another. We're called to help each other out. It says in Acts 2, verse 45, I love the book of Acts. You need to read through that several times a year. It gives us a great picture of how the early believers lived out the Christian life. Good lesson for all of us, especially when we get caught in the weeds of the world today and everything starts getting weird and twisty and all that kind of stuff. Get back to the book of Acts. Come on, get back in there. Acts 2, verse 45 says, and they, meaning the believers, the Christians, they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, when they say all, again, it's all the believers, as the believers had need. And so, again, it's a picture of the call to give to one another. And I just got to say that the Evident Life Church family is great at living out this one another. Great at it. You're living out this call to give to one another. I think of the Benevolence Fund that always has money in it and is available and has been used many times to help people in this congregation, to help our brothers and sisters in times of need. And times of need come up. It's part of life. It just happens. We don't need to be embarrassed or put to shame over anything like that. Things happen. And the beauty is that we're in a family now that understands and has a heart of God now to where we want to help each other out and give to one another. And this church is so good at that. I think of the adoption assistance program that's helped several families here in this room right now to bring families together. By the generosity and the giving of the brothers and sisters right here in this congregation. It's beautiful. Giving away property. Puckett's just had a garage sale, and I know several people in this church, we're one of them, just took a bunch of stuff and gave it to them so that they could, gave them our possessions so that they could sell those possessions, turn it into cash, and bring a baby home. I mean, it's beautiful. Give to one another. Private gifts that I know happen. I've heard of several of them that happen just between you, just privately between you. A car been given to somebody in this church for the past couple of years. Just amazing. Then I think of the giving that this church has done to our brothers and sisters in Ghana, Africa. I mean, that's no joke. The kind of giving that's been done. They're part of the body of Christ. Just like he was saying to the church in Corinth, give so that those gifts can go to Jerusalem, and then they get spread out all over the place. And so this congregation has planted churches, has helped build churches in Africa, has helped grow a Christian school that serves food to 650 students every single day, that's helping feed them. Many of them don't have any other way of eating. Providing sanitary bathrooms, built bathrooms for them. I mean, just the giving that this church has done has been phenomenal. Helping the practical needs of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. And it's evidence that God's at work right here, right now. So I just want to encourage you. God's at work. God is at work. So the first one another that Paul is pointing out is to give to one another. The second one that he points out that we see as part of Christian living is to fellowship with one another. Let's continue. Verse 5. I will visit you. Now, Paul says, I'm going to visit you. He didn't say, I'm going to text you. I'm going to instant message you. You know, I'm going to Twitter and Facebook you. I'm going to become your Facebook friend. He didn't say that. Okay? Even if they had all of that back then, I believe he still would have said, I will visit you. Like, come to you. Face to face. Spend time with you. Right? I will visit you after passing through Macedonia. For I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you. Or even, this is great, because you just see him kind of writing, stream of thought here. I'm going to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I'll stay with you. Or even spend the winter with you, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now, just in passing. Now he's like, I really do want to see you, as he's writing this. I hope to spend some time with you. spend time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. What do we see here? Spending time together as believers is an essential component of Christian living. It's important. Spending time with one another. Just as our relationship with Christ is important and we need to spend time with Him, we need to be in His Word, we need to pray, we need to fast, we need to worship. I'm telling you, you need to worship throughout the week. You just need to crank your favorite worship songs and just start singing and raising your hands and jumping and praising the Lord. Spend time with God, just as it's important for us to get with God, to connect with Him. And I'm telling you what, you can't live the Christian life without that. You're totally missing it. Can't live it. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's God. It's Him guiding us, directing us, empowering us, strengthening us, healing us, encouraging us. We need to spend time with Him, not just talk about Him. Spend time with Him. So we need to spend time with one another, is what God's Word says. We have to spend time with one another. Not just think about it. Not just say, oh, that's great. Sometime we're going to do that, or I'll see him on Sunday morning, and that's good enough. No, I mean really spend time with one another. You were created for relationship. You were created to do life with one another. You were created to hang out with one another. Just hang out. We hung out with the Valientes last night. They were going to the movie. Hey, you want to go? Yeah. We hung out. Had a great time. Some good Mexican food, too. That's what I'm talking about. We were created to do life together. We studied it in chapter 12. What did it say in chapter 12? It talked about the body of Christ and all the parts were important and all the parts needed to come together for the body of Christ to work properly. The picture is that the parts of the body, the people of the body have to come together. Not just be different parts, but actually come together to fellowship, to do life, to hang out, to spend time, to know what's going on, to care for one another. And then in Hebrews 10, it strongly instructs us to not neglect our time together. Verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So why do we spend time with each other? To encourage one another in love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm telling you what, the day is drawing near. Look at the world around us right now. The adversary is coming after believers. It's sickening to see the number of believers that are getting taken out. It's sickening to see the number of Christian marriages that are being attacked. We need one another, folks. We need one another. We've got to do this together. I mean, it's no joke. If you think you're strong enough to do it alone, you're being fooled. You're being duped. You need the other people in this room. That's just the fact. I want to encourage you to connect with the body of Christ, your church family, to build one another up, to get to know each other, just to go have fun together. If you haven't seen the movie God's Not Dead, it's a great show. It's a good place to go hang out together and then go get some Mexican food afterwards. That formula works for me, is what I'm saying. It worked last night. Others need you, too. That's the thing. It's going to bless you. It's going to build you up, and you need it. But others need you. They need you. The people sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, they need you. They need to know you. You bring extreme value to their lives. The Lord has put you in this place right now to bless them and to minister to those sitting around you. So fellowship with one another. Number three, let's keep moving. The third one another that I want us to look at from chapter 16 is encourage one another. Got to encourage one another. Verse 10, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease. Not stress him out. Put him at ease. Encourage him. Put him at ease. For he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Let him on his way in peace. that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. What's Paul doing? He's appealing to the church to welcome Timothy, to encourage him, to build him up, right? Hey, Timothy's coming through. Help him out. Be an encouragement to him, because he's doing some hard work out there, man. He's out on the front lines. Just be an encouragement to that guy. Build him up. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing. And I just want to say that same thing that Paul said to the church in Thessalonica. Encourage one another and build each other up just as you're doing, because I see you doing it. So I want to say, keep doing it. Just like Paul was saying, keep doing it. Keep encouraging one another. Keep building one another up. It's important. God has you in a place to do that. How many of you appreciate an encouraging word? How many of you like it when somebody says something encouraging to you? Okay, every hand should go up in this room, and if not, I don't know what's going on. You probably aren't listening to me. Everybody appreciates an encouraging word. And when somebody encourages you, man, it just like, it gives you just that jolt of energy. It puts a pep in your step. I mean, it's like you feel a blessing from the Lord, because that's what it is. It's literally a blessing, a word, a touch from the Lord when one of your brothers and sisters in Christ encourages you. Let's encourage one another and build each other up. For when we do that, we're going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Number 4, strengthen one another. Verse 12. Now concerning our brothers Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. So what are you supposed to do? Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. This is a picture to me as I look at it. It's a picture of being strong in God and strengthening one another. Because he's writing to the greater body of Christ. He's writing to many people, to the gathered saints there in Corinth. And he's saying, be strong, strengthen one another. Because we're in a battle, and we know that. We're not battling against flesh and blood, not against each other, not even against the people out in the world who are throwing stuff at us and calling us silly names and forcing their worldly views on us. We're not battling those people, but we're battling evil forces of darkness. But we're in a battle. We've talked about that just recently. We are in a battle. The enemy is ready and willing and trying to take every one of us down. But we're not alone in the battle. We have one another. We've got to remember that. And we've got to do life in that reality. That we are in a battle. Your brothers and sisters are in a battle. The enemy's going after them. They need you by their side, strengthening them. Together we're stronger. I think of that truth that we find in Deuteronomy 32, where it talks about how one of us can chase away 1,000, but we just get two of us together and we can send 10,000 fleeing. That's a biblical reality right there. Exponential increase in our ability to fight the battle when we do it together. We need one another. We need to strengthen one another. Number 5, we're called to serve one another. Christian living must involve serving one another. Verse 15, now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. Paul is purposefully applauding one family. Why? Because they lived a life of serving their brothers and sisters. Evident life is filled with selfless people. It humbles me when I see how you serve one another, how you help each other in your time of need, how you show up at each other's homes, help move each other, help with a project around the house, how you bring food to one another in times of need. You babysit for one another. You're there for one another. It's a beautiful thing. It's Christian living. It's what we're called to as the body of Christ. It's one another living. We're called to serve one another. And you're a people who are generous with your time and your energy. That's because Christ is in you. That's the only reason. Selflessness only comes from God. I thank God that I see a lot of selflessness here in this room. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. We're entering a season where we're going to have a lot of opportunity to give of our time and of our energy as we're moving into this new building. And just as that crew was here yesterday, and just as we're going to be here today, rolling up our sleeves and moving and just serving one another as the body of Christ, it's Christian living, and it's a beautiful thing. And it blesses the Lord's heart. And so we're going to have opportunities to do that. And I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time to be serving alongside of one another. Number 6, we're called to honor one another. Honor one another. Verse 17, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, who, because they made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Then listen to this. He says, give recognition to such people. Give recognition to such people. It's right to bless one another. It's right to acknowledge and to honor one another. Now, it's not right to look for acknowledgement and desire that from people and from the world. But it is right to give it and to honor one another. And I'm going to do it right now. I was in Wednesday night prayer, and it was interesting. We're just a lot of words from the Lord, a lot of testimonies and everything. And Wayne Allen spoke up. And now I'd been reading and studying this particular passage and saw this honor one another principle right here. And Wayne Allen just lived it out Wednesday night. He speaks up near the end of the prayer meeting. He says, I just want to thank David Caldwell because he heard from the Lord. He had a word from the Lord about our family, about a generational curse that needed to be broken. And he called me up. He told me about it, and then he prayed over us. And the Lord has broken that thing. And he lived this exact principle out of honor one another right then and there in that gathering of giving recognition and honoring those who are just walking it out and being the body of Christ to one another. We're called to honor one another. It's not like we're tooting each other's horns. It's not like we're trying to elevate man when we do that. That's not what it's about. But it is about honoring one another. It's a form of encouraging one another. Number 7, the last one. Is it any surprise? Number 7, the number of completion. Number of perfection, love one another. The 7th one another that I'm seeing right here in chapter 16 is that we're called to love one another. Christian living involves loving one another. Verse 4, let all that you do be done in love. And remember, he talked about Christian liberty. He said, hey, you have freedom in Christ now. You have Christian liberty to do all these different things. But do it in love. Remember, we talked about that. But you got to show love to one another. And if your Christian liberty is causing you to not show love, then you need to back off of it. And then as we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, here are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but wrap them in love. The gifts are there to encourage one another, to build each other up. So do it in love. And he's ending He's ending his whole letter, and again, he's bringing up this principle of Christian living, of loving one another. Verse 24, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Love is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, it says, is like that. Isn't that what Jesus said, right? Love your neighbor. Love your brother. Love your sister as yourself. Love God and love one another. Love one another. Together is God's plan for our lives. Living out a one another life is God's plan for your life as a believer. We need one another. I was reminded of a video that I saw many years ago, and some of you might have seen this video. But I want to run it because I think it really underscores what can happen when we get this together mindset, this together perspective, and we say, yes, we're going to embrace Christian living the way the Bible shows us, and that means we're going to do it together. We're going to embrace a one another lifestyle. So let's watch this video. Together they run. Together they bring inspiration. Together, lives are changed. Just as it said on the video, don't run alone. Don't run alone. We're called to a one another lifestyle. To a one another lifestyle. And as the Lord calls us to advance into our future, as the family of God, and as we embrace this one another lifestyle, this togetherness, we're going to see big impact happen. Big impact happen. I feel the Lord leading me this week to call us to respond to this message, to call us to take action on this one another life. And so, if you're part of this church family, if this is where you're calling your church home at this time, I want to invite you to participate in this exercise. And it may put you out of your comfort zone just a little bit. It may make you rearrange your schedule just a little bit. But do you want to run? Do you want to advance? Do you want to live the kind of Christian life that the Bible shows us we're called to live, the one another life? Then sometimes we got to step out and do some things that are out of the box. And as your pastor, I'm feeling the Lord calling us to do that and calling you to take a step out. For some of you, this is going to be like super fun. For others, it's going to be like, how are we going to make this work? But here's what we're going to do. I want each person to come up, one representative per family, to come up. You're going to write your name on a card. It's going to be one of our connection cards, but we're just using those cards for this purpose this morning. We're going to drop your name in a bowl. Ask the two elders that are here this morning to come up right now, even to help out. We're going to drop your name in a bowl, and then we're going to pull two names out at a time. And those two people are going to get together within the next 2 weeks and practice these one another's. It may just be the fellowship with one another. Maybe it's the serving one another, the honoring one another, whatever it is, but you're going to practice this one another lifestyle. We need to get together. We need to get to know one another. There's a lot of different things you could do. You could just go to the park. If you got a bunch of kids, that's probably the best thing to do. Go to the park. Or have somebody over and let the kids play in the backyard and enjoy one another while y'all maybe have some coffee or some dessert or something. You could take a walk. You could go on a hike. If you go with the Kleins, you better watch out. They get pretty extreme. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do together with one another. And so if, Tracy, could you bring that bowl up here and those cards? I'd like one person, each person to come up, one representative from each family. If you have a pen, you could bring it too. We've packed much of our stuff away already. And I'd like for you just to put your name on the card, drop it in the bowl, and let's go after it.